From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans. This is the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Going to talk Hank Henrik Lundqvist, the goalie, number 30. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. And, of course, Ranger Proud can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram. And, of course, the writer for Elite Sports New York, RP, talking some Rangers hockey. Bro, how's everything?
Hey, Steve, how's it going tonight?
It's good, man. Good day. You know, not bad. I'm looking forward to this dialogue with you today on Henrik. So, let's get it popping, man. How's everything with you, man? Everything good?
Everything's good. Getting close to a training camp and some hockey and looking forward to it. It's been a long time since April, so I'm actually getting excited that they get some hockey out there next couple of weeks.
You haven't been having much fun, huh, this summer on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, huh? This summer's
We've been having fun on the podcast, but I'm ready to talk hockey, like live game actual action. Hockey. You know, yeah, that's how it gets. This time of year, August is always the tough month. It's a tough month to write. It's a tough month to keep up with the Facebook page. It's not a lot going on that hasn't been discussed all over the place. It kind of gets a little on the repetitive side. So it'll be nice to start talking, you know, who's being invited to training camp and some preseason action. September 17th, that kicks off. So it's time. It's been long enough.
Towards the end of this episode, we're going to get into a division foe in the Washington Capitals and see how they're looking as one of the teams we're looking in the offseason on our thoughts. And I also have a question for RP. I'm going to save it to the last part of this episode. So, RP, Henrik Lundqvist, he's been a Warrior. He's been his legacy is pretty much has been cemented in New York. Just the only thing that's been avoided him is the Stanley Cup championship or Stanley's Cup. But, I mean, let's look at it like this. What things are you looking forward to from Henrik Lundqvist going into next season?
I tell you, I think the one thing that fans may not think I'm going to say is that Henrik needs to be a little bit more patient. I think there's going to be a lot going on his end, a little bit of controlled chaos, if you will, and he's going to have to find that medium between stressing out when players lose their coverage and, you know, good scoring opportunities and goals get scored on them and trying to keep himself a little bit calmer. The weight of the world's always on Henrik Lundqvist, like you said, no Stanley Cup. He's achieved everything else, so he's, you know, he's striving for that one last thing that he really wants to get on his mantle. But, you know, he's going to be 37 in March. After this season, let's put it this way, this season may be the last season he doesn't have to look over his shoulder of, am I still going to be the starter? You know, the rumors are next year that Igor Shorenstein from the KHL should be coming over to New York. He's the heir apprentice to Henrik Lundqvist. So, and that's not a bad thing. It's not pushing Hank out the door, but next year he might have a little bit of that. Well, when's Igor going to play more? Maybe he should get more games, which you haven't heard in the last, what, 14 years for the most part. You know, some rare times with Ronther and Talbot when Henrik was hurt or not playing well. But overall, for his career, he never really had to look over his shoulder from when he started. So I think he needs to find his patience. I think as much as we all want to win the Stanley Cup, this might be the year when he doesn't have that pressure on him because he's really not supposed to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, I would think the team would just be happy if they make a wild card spot, considering how the team hasn't changed much from the end of last season until the beginning of this season. So that's what I think his biggest thing is. I mean, we all know he's a good goaltender. He's a top five goalie in the league. He's going to probably win you close to 30 games again, like last year he had 26. But he also has to play within himself and understand what's going on in a rebuilding atmosphere.
When you say he needs to stay patient, in what way? What do you mean by patience?
Sometimes he just seems to lose his cool if a goal gets scored against them. And, you know, the opposing team will be in front of that, and a defenseman will lose that guy, and he'll pick up a rebound or a garbage goal, as I used to call it, and score. I'm not talking bad goals. I'm talking about plays when the defense and the team in front of him kind of falls apart. We saw a lot of that last season, and you could see his frustration on the ice. I mean, he never likes to give up a goal. We're all used to seeing that. But I thought last year he tended to lose his patience a little bit more often than we were used to seeing. You know, a little bit of bantering back and forth with players. Not so much blaming, just he seemed to lose his focus because of what was going on around him. And I think this season you're going to have a lot of that, especially in the first 15 games. The new coaching staff, new setup, a lot of new kids on the team. So I just think he needs to just do what he can, not to try to stand on his head every single opportunity that comes there, because some goals are just going to go in the net, some coverages are going to be blown, and just see how it plays out. But I think he's going to have to trust his defenseman a little bit more and trust the system that the coach puts out a little bit more.
All right, because I see what you're saying as far as on the ice, be patient with the defenseman, his body language, his facial expressions. I thought of the word patience, because that came to my mind, but it was in a different light, in a sense of he was willing to stay with his team, his loyalty to the New York Rangers, as far as him not wanting to go elsewhere. He wanted to be a Ranger throughout this transition, throughout this rebuild, this retooling, whatever you want to call it. So I thought he was kind of patient in that aspect. So I see what you're saying as far as on the ice, with, you know, giving up bad goals, defense not on their excitement. And that was actually one of the things I thought, that they, if they're going to have some sort of competitive season this year, they definitely have to talk, communicate. I mean, and I'm talking about training camp. I'm not talking about even before preseason games. As soon as they get to camp, he's got to work with Shea and Shattenkirk and Pionk, Mark Stahl. They got to talk. They have to have a communication, because this could be cleaned up, this could be cleaned up as far as defensemen needing to be where they need to be so he could be in position in the net where he needs to be and not give up bad goals because what happened with the defenseman. So I think there's a patience with there, and I think the communication, and then you add on that other layer, like you said, with the head coach, and I cannot see how Quinn not address this with between the goalie and the defenseman. Like, you gotta be on the same page, because without a doubt, this past season for Henrik Lundqvist, as far as statistically, we saw some. He had the worst goal against average in a long time. I think it's been the worst in his career. And it's crazy in a sense, because he's seen so many shots. He's seen a lot. I think he's seen the most shots fired at him in about 9 years. And he, if you got to consider his age, like you said, 36 at the time. So he was in his prime before, when he was seeing a whole bunch of shots. And that's when the Rangers were starting to get into their prime about, I don't know, 7 years ago, and they were really making playoff runs on the Tortorella before it went over to Vigneault. But he's definitely 37, you said? He's somewhere up there.
He'll be 37 in March.
Right. I still think he's top ten goalie. So he still has a lot left in the tank. He does have a lot of mileage though, but that comes with the coach. Now let's talk about this part. I want him not to be overworked. I think he was exhausted last year, physically and mentally. I think Vigneault used him too much last year, and it's even some of the games that he got off the bad starts, he would get pulled. It was just a disaster all the way around from the goalie perspective. So my thing is, I want to see him capped out no more than 60 this year, but it has to be in that 52 to 55 range, considering his age, RP. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I also think that has to do with who the backup is going to be. And, you know, the head coach is going to have to deal with a 14-year veteran, Henrik Lundqvist, and from the beginning, he's going to have to be the one that shows he's the boss. I don't think Quinn should let Hank talk him into games played outside of what the coaching staff thinks Hank should be playing. Like you said, last year Vigneault was just like play. And it, I mean, it did look, he had 26 wins, but he had 26 losses. So it wasn't a great year for him. He appeared in 63 games. Like you said, he had one of his highest goals against average. So there's a lot to it. His save percentage was 91.5%. Mm-hmm. You know, you want those numbers to be a little bit higher. He isn't getting any younger. So I really think the backup goalie, whoever it's going to be, you know, probably Gorgiev, but there's no guarantee the Rangers make a trade between now and the start of the season. That's going to have a lot to do with it, too. Can Gorgiev, for instance, come in and can he play 20 games in the NHL? Now, mind you, if he plays 20 games, I mean, Tank's still playing 65, which is over where we're already talking about. So you're talking about a rookie backup goalie coming into the league and what, playing 25 or 29 games? That's a lot to ask for, too. So a lot's going to go on how well he plays, how well Hank plays, how the team itself is gelling. And you know, there's a lot of factors to it. The team revolves around the play of Henrik Lundqvist. That is, everyone knows is the truth. There's no other way around that. He's the leader of the team. And on the flip side to that, if he starts to go through a losing streak like he did two seasons ago, you got to have that backup goal. They can give him that rest, whether he thinks he needs it or not. But he also needs to get the wins. So there's a lot, you know, it's a balance. They're both going to have to be right on the fence, if you will, winning. You know, the perfect scenarios when Antti Raanta and Cam Talbot was here for that reason. When Lundqvist was out of the lineup or on the bench or whatever it might be, you knew when those two goalies played for the Rangers, you had still had a legitimate chance to win the hockey game. You got a rookie backup, those odds change a little bit. You know, it's a faster game. As well as Gorgiev looked in goal playing last year, the games didn't mean a lot for the team when he played his minutes. He was good. He played well. I don't think he was head over heels, wow, look at this kid. And that's only because he just didn't get the experience. That's why putting him in last season at the end meant a lot. So one plays off the other. But Henrik is going to have a really superb season for the Rangers to make it into a wild card spot.
Yeah. You know what? I look at it like this, and we've said it many a times here on this podcast, where it all goes back to the refrigerator, man. It goes back to the letter on the fridge, the Gordon letter. It's a total rebuild. They drafted like they were rebuilding. They said it. When they said what they were doing, they meant it. So when I'm going with this one from a goalie point of view, I don't mind, or I would not be surprised, whoever the backup happens to be gets thrown into the fire for better or for worse. Even if the Rangers were in somewhat of a playoff spot contention, because this is what they said. They really believe in this total rebuild. If the Rangers happen to get off to a good start and they're kind of middle of the pack fighting for one or the two wild card spots, I still believe they believe that the front office believes that they're going to utilize the youth, particularly everybody that's hands on deck, but from a goalie perspective, behind Lundqvist, they're going to try to cut down those games. And even if Lundqvist is playing well, and you brought up a great point, and I didn't really consider that, but Hank is kind of like, I would call him a lead dog, but he's quote unquote, I hate to use the word, the king. That's his moniker, that's his nickname. And the fans respect him, the organization respects him. And that's going to be an interesting thing where if Quinn is trying to really reduce his amount of games and amount of time on the ice at starts, and how Hank's going to react to that.
Well, the problem with that is when Hank said he wanted to stay here and he wanted to be part of the rebuild, well, to me that means he assumes that he might not be playing as many minutes. Or he has to assume that even though the team is doing really well on a winning streak or they're playing a good segment of hockey, that they're going to put a backup goalie in to keep his minutes down. And he has to accept that this season. In years past, we've all read how he wants to play. He wants to play. Part of the rebuilding is getting, if it is Gorgiev as the backup, the proper minutes and the proper games played so that he's ready to go in the next couple of years, maybe as the number one or the backup to to shorts again if Lundqvist is no longer with the team or when his contract expires. So it's more than just saying I want to do it. I want to be part of the rebuild. It's also I want to do it the way the coaching staff wants it done, not the way the King wants it done. And that's something that we don't know if he is actually prepared to do. He said that he is, which is what you want to hear, but you also expect to hear that. So if what you're saying is, well, in March and the Rangers are still battling for a wild card spot, are they going to start sitting Hank at the end of the season when they think they can make the playoffs? Yes, it's a rebuild, but will the coaching staff actually do that? Or will they say, hey, we didn't even think we were going to be this close to a playoff position. Well, now we're going to let Hank run the gauntlet and let's see if we can get in it again. You know, it's easier said than done in New York. If they're that close, if they're playing that to that level where they have a shot at a wild card or different seating in the playoff standings, you might see all this get crushed. You might see Hank play the last, 10 out of 15 games, which isn't really what you're looking for. But if they're in that position, it just might happen. So, you know, the latter part is kind of done with now, Steve, because they've done the rebuild. They went through their draft. They made one signing in the offseason in free agency, and they're more or less going with the same team they had last year into training camp. Okay, so now it's not even a rebuild anymore. Now it's like a retooling. This is what we got. We've already started it. Some of the pieces will come into play next season. Some of the pieces might come into play in February. Some of the pieces might come up now if there's a trade. So it all depends what happens in these games. You know, the Rangers could struggle as much as they did last season, and then Gorgiev gets more games because what's the difference? How will Hank handle that? Can Lundqvist handle only playing 50 games? It's an interesting thought of what they want to do because you really won't know until you start to see how it all falls out. But, you know,
yeah,
he's played.
He's not a bad
He's never played. For one season, he's never, let's see, he had the injury season in 2014-15 when they went to the Cup Final. He played, 46 games there. And aside from that year, he played 53 his first season with the Rangers. After that, he's been more or less over 63 games. So,
yep.
You know, what will that do to his mentality? Will he regret saying, I wanted to stay? You know, there were two sides that he wanted to stay, too. There's one side, yes, look, he showed his loyalty. He wanted to stay a Ranger. He wanted to rebuild with the team. But then there are some fans out there saying, well, it was a little selfish. You know, he's got a couple years left. He's eating up a lot of salary cap. The team probably is not going to make it to a Stanley Cup final the next couple of years. So we could have traded. And for Lundqvist, you probably could have got a couple, maybe two first-round picks or a roster player. You know, you could have got a nice package back for him. And he could have said, you know, I'll do whatever the team wants because they've been so good to me the 14 years, or 13 years. So it goes both ways. There's a little bit of, oh, that's great. Oh, that was horrible kind of.
That could be a possibility. I thought about that. Even preparing, thinking about that before we did this episode. What if there was a situation, the Rangers are not in it, and there's a viable Stanley Cup playoff team requesting his services, and knowing he doesn't have that Stanley Cup championship, do you think he goes back on his word from this past season about I wanted to be a Ranger and want to be loyal to the team? Would that happen to be part of the relationship with Quinn? Like maybe they don't hit it off, and maybe that changes his mind mid-season? Do you – let's say a team like, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there for just randomly, like whoever happens to be a contender in the East or the West. It could be any team, West or East, a team that's highly contending for the playoffs, a playoff berth, and they don't have an elite goaltender. And Lundqvist is on the table, and the Rangers has been talking total rebuild, and that's probably the only thing that's avoided him his whole entire career is a Stanley Cup championship. You think he changes his mind, especially in the sense of the coach and him don't get along, or maybe there's a little bit of downturn in the front office. You think he changes his mind, or you think he stays?
I don't think he changes his mind. I really doubt that there'd be that much of a animosity between a head coach and one of the top goaltenders in the league. I mean, if I was a new coach going to the NHL, you'd want a guy like Lundqvist there. You know that you can build from the goalie net up. So I don't think that would be a problem. I think anything now with regards to moving Lundqvist, it would have to come out that the Rangers really asked him to waive his no-trade clause. I don't see Lundqvist going, you know something, this is not working out. Forget what I said. Get me the hell out of here. I don't see that happening at all. I really don't, because they gave him the out when at the last trade deadline. They asked him, do you want to be a part of it or not? And if you don't, we'll, you know, try to move you for the best value we can get to a good team to get you a shot at the cup. And he turned that opportunity down. I think he's psychologically or mentally prepared to stay in New York. He loves it in New York. He keeps saying that. He knows it's going to be a tough season. I don't know if it could be much tougher than it was last season when your season started with the expectations of, you know, at least getting to an Eastern Conference final to being eliminated from the playoffs contention altogether. So here, there's a little bit of pressure off the team because you don't know expectations right now.
It didn't come from us. Who said that? That did not come from us, because when we looked at the roster last summer, we didn't think it significantly improved. It didn't come from us.
But we did think it was a playoff team.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Not Eastern Conference Finals, I thought I thought they had a shot at least to get through to the second round, maybe to the Eastern Conference Finals, just based on how they came off the last season. I mean, we all thought they should have beat Ottawa in last year's playoffs, and they did it. So we didn't think they were that far off. But you know something? A lot of things happened early on. And overall, the scoring by committee thing failed. We didn't think the defense would be as poor last season or worse off last season than it was the year before. I mean, it was so bad they traded their captain again. You know, things just fell apart by the wayside. We thought Mark Stahl was lucky if he was the seventh defenseman, and when the season ended, he was a top four defenseman. So a lot of things happened. But, you know, Hank's been around a long time. He sees what's going on in front of him on the ice. He sees what's going on in practice. And he knows what the team he has in front of him. So he wanted to stay. That's great. But he needs to be willing to let the coach make the decisions to get the team to where they think they need to be. So now, going into the season, I don't know if Hank's going to play less than 60 games until they announce who the backup goaltender is. So it's kind of an up and down scenario. The preseason is going to dictate a lot. Practice is definitely going to dictate a lot, especially with the goaltenders. And we'll see where we are when the season opens up.
You know, that would not make a lot of sense to me at all. If they went that route, they played them a whole bunch of games, if they're talking total rebuild. Not to say I don't want to see Lundqvist in there. I'm just going off what the team has said, the franchise has said, the front office has said. So that would not make sense to me. But
yeah, but you have to understand, a rebuild doesn't mean – see, it's the misconception of the word.
It's very subjective, RP. It's very subjective.
What is a rebuild? It's not we're dumping everybody and we're just having a season of – getting used to an 82-game schedule for Elias Sanderson and Filip Hedl, and, you know, we're going to run one year with Mark Stahl and then decide if we're going to buy him out. If you're playing these games, yes, you're rebuilding the team, but at the same time, you need to be competitive in winning. And that's not to say you're going to win and make the playoffs. You're not going to do better than the 77 points they did last season or whatever it was. But you still have to put a competitive team on the ice, and you still have to play every game like it matters. So I think sometimes the rebuild term, a lot of people just think, well, get rid of all the veterans, trade Zuccarello, we'll trade Hayes, but we'll see if Lundqvist wants to go, and then next season you'll probably have a worse season than you do this year. Because you got to have some veteran leadership on the team. You can't just rely on a Chris Kreider and a Jimmy Vesey and get rid of everybody else. Tell Gorgiev he can start the year next year. It just doesn't work that way. So when you hear the term rebuild, it's starting, not starting over totally. It's bringing up some kids that may not have made it if you had a whole bunch of veterans on your team, but bringing in some of these young guys, mixing it in with the veterans you have on your team, and let's see where we go from there.
Well, not to split hairs, that would, to me, sounds more like a retool. What you're saying to me describes to me as a retool. Rebuild means, to me, starting from the ground up, I mean literally, like, trade your best assets and then get as young as possible, salary-wise, get as low as possible, to me, that's more of a rebuild. What you're describing to me sounds more like a retool. Like we're there, we're not there, but we're not far off the beaten path, but we're not totally bad to the point where you got to gut this whole thing out. So to me, it sounds like you're talking retool, which is fine, but that's not what the Rangers said though. But it really comes back to what they mean by rebuild.
Well, correct. It's not maybe what they mean, but if you look at what they did after the trade deadline, they drafted some players, but they kept. I read somewhere and I can't remember the number. I think there's still going to be 15 or 16 players that skated off the ice in Philadelphia in April. So is that a rebuild? It really isn't. I mean, is that a rebuild? Let's not include, don't include Pavlik because he was a one-year goalie as a backup and we knew he was going. McDonough's not here, but McDonough and JT Miller and Nash and Gravel, they were all traded in February. So think about the team the last 2-3 weeks of the season and the team that skated off the ice in Philadelphia. Okay? Mm-hmm. You look at it now and look at what they have now. And I'm just bringing it up now. If you look at the Rangers roster today and you look at the Rangers roster when it ended, it's not that different. So is it a rebuild? I mean, Buchanan is still here, Fast, Hayes, Kreider, McLeod was on the team, so I'm going to include him. Nemtsov is still here, Spoon is still here, VC, Zibanejad, Zuccarello. Okay, so where is the real... It didn't happen yet. Liga Sanderson and Heidel are going to be the new ones in coming up, but they were on the team in those last games. So who are the new people on the team right now to say the rebuild is going? To me, the rebuild was the draft picks they started with, right, Steve? But none of those
exactly.
first round picks
well,
were the
that's what I
this
thought.
Year.
That's what I was thinking.
So that were, and that's what we're all saying. Really they traded, they drafted not for this season. So is
Correct.
It a rebuild? It didn't really happen yet. So I even wrote in one of my articles, I forget which one, that I was calling it a retool. Because when you look at the lineup, when you look at the – just look at the defensemen.
Exactly.
D'Angelo, Gilmore, Kampfer won't be on the team. Pionk, Shattenkirk, Shea, Stahl. There's no rebuild on the defense. There is no rebuild on the defense. It's the same guys that were here last year. So if that's the case – it was a rebuild in the aspect that they're accepting that they made the trades to get the draft picks. But those draft picks, most all of them that we've used, none of those players are going to be in the lineup come opening night this year.
Yeah, those are future guys. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so then it's not really a rebuild. It's a rebuild for the future. When you look at the lineup that they're going to put on the ice, providing there's some trades that may or may not happen, there's not that much of a difference than left in April. Which concerns me to an extent because we weren't scoring goals then. Who's going to score the goals now? So I don't,
All
you
right.
know, you said it best. Possibly the hierarchy's idea of what a rebuild is different than what you and I think a rebuild is.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean, roster-wise, as far as the last couple of games of the regular season, this roster isn't totally different from what it is or was. They drafted like they were rebuilding. So I understand the futures aspect as far as projects. They had a lot of projects in that draft. And they're going to take their time with that. And it annoyed a lot of Rangers fans. But like I said, it goes back to the refrigerator. When I say the refrigerator, I'm talking about the refrigerator. But me and you get that. But I'm just saying it for the audience who's going to listen to this. Let me ask you this. Two questions. Well, a couple of questions. Barring injury, Lundqvist, projected games – what do you want to see, or how many games do you think he actually is going to start?
82-game season. I like to see Lundqvist start 55.
Okay.
It's not beating him up. It's not putting him against a lot of shots. You can selectively put him in games against teams where a Gorgiev might have a better chance then, you know, if Lundqvist is in, to give him opportunities to win, to give him opportunities to get comfortable in goal over a long season. Do I think that's going to happen? It's all up to what they tell Quinn. It really is. You know, if Gorton told Quinn, listen, we're not putting a win number on you. We like to get to the playoffs. We like to get to a wild card, but we also understand what the team is up against right now. Or they go into Quinn and we want to do what we did last year at least, which wasn't playoffs, but it was getting some wins. You know, it's 500 hockey good enough. I don't know. I would like to see Lundqvist in that 55, 58 game range. That's providing whoever the backup is cannot just play, but needs to win his share of games.
Mm-hmm. I would be cool with 55. That is fine with me. Like you said, the last 8-9 seasons, outside of the injury year with the Cup, I mean, he's seen a lot of hockey, man, a lot of mileage.
Mm-hmm.
I think even last year, we've seen so many. How many times have we seen the Rangers game this year? You probably have the numbers somewhere nearby. How many shots that he's seen, like the shot against, he had faced? Like the team could be in the 30s by start of the third period. That's ridiculously high.
Yeah.
And that's not saying that's his fault. That's the guys in front of him. You let
no,
it get
but he
that
faces...
far, that deep, you know?
He's definitely he's faced a ton of shots. I mean, last season he had 2,036 shots on him.
Damn, that's a lot of shots, man. He shouldn't be seeing that many shots.
You're right, 2,000, and he made 1,862 saves, which is 91%.
That's about 91%.
Okay. It's 91%, but you want it's a lot of shots. It's the most shots he's ever faced in a season. Before that, the most he had was 21. Excuse me. In 2009, he had 2109 shots against them. He made 1942 saves.
I mean, that's not
right. He was younger. It was 8 years ago. Right.
Yeah.
So you can't be something.
Uh huh.
You can't. He can't just be facing all those shots. Now, when we talk about that, what does that mean? It means the defensemen, the forwards need to come back. They need to play in 5-man units. All those shots against is all those mistakes we were talking about. Not all of them. A large percentage of them are poor hockey. It's just poor hockey.
Yeah.
So, Steve, tell me again, if this is rebuilding, what changed? I'm not trying to knock the team. I'm sure they're going to come out and skate. And I'm sure they're going to have a different system with Quinn. And I expect to see some players who didn't play well play better. But if you're just looking at the names on paper right now, it doesn't look...
Nothing's really changed.
So if you're talking rebuild, well, you better be telling the fans it's a 2 or 3 year rebuild, which is what you and I had said it would be. You know, when this all happened last February, last January, like that. So it's a wait and see. But that's why I said Hank needs to be patient. That's how I started this off.
What about rebuild in the sense of? I'm not saying this is my rationale. Maybe I'm looking from the Rangers personnel front office point of view, the sense of Miller and McDonough is no longer on the team because of contract situation. Those guys moved on via trade because they were seeking bigger deals. Maybe because those guys ain't back there as far as the heart and soul of that current team. I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking at it. What did they mean by rebuild? I know what a rebuild is, and I know what a retool is.
I don't.
But as far as this roster is not anything different, so it doesn't look like a rebuild. The only thing I could go off the rebuild is, like we said back in April, the draft is just new.
Yeah, I mean, the only way the only way this rebuilding gets better now is through trade. Let's be realistic. They have a lot of kids in Hartford, but do you want to bring them up and be unsuccessful? You know, it's you got a teeter-totter with that. Is it really worth it? You know, they have Michael Lundqvist or Ryan Lindgren. Those guys are good. Brett Howden. Those guys can all help the team, but to what extent and who do you move to bring them up now? Because remember, Anderson and Heidel are going to be up, so that's two more roster spots that are probably permanently gone. They don't have a lot of spots with the lineup that they have right now.
No, I got you.
So it's just a weird situation with them. They have a lot of young guys. The Wolfpack, the entire team is 19, 20, 22. They have a lot of young, solid kids who are just going to get better. So, you know, I don't see them bringing up, you know, until the end of the season like they did this year. a lot of kids from the from the minors. You like to see Buniyevs come up. He's a really solid center. Personally, I think he's going to get included in a trade package. Because if they're not going to play him, then get value out of him. He's a good, solid center. He could be a third or fourth line center on plenty of teams in the NHL. So if you're not going to make the move to bring him up now, and we all know the center position is the worst, we'll bring someone else up, bring up a high-scoring defenseman or a scoring forward that can help keep the puck out of our end, which in return makes Lundqvist see less shots, which gives him a better opportunity to win games. So that's what I'm hoping they do. That's what you're hoping for. I mean, look, Hank can battle, and he's going to battle. There's no doubt about it. But like you said, how many shots can you face? If the team hasn't improved from last year, I just think if they play better hockey, Hank will have a better year because he's just not going to get all those shots. None of those first-minute goals and that run around every time the puck is dropped, I think they're going to play a lot tighter early. I think they want to impress the coach early. The coach is going to give them a lot of leeway in the beginning. You know, like we said, accountable but not punishing. And that's what they want. So I expect to see them play better hockey, which overall will keep them in the games and keep Hank winning games.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Here's a question for you. Do you believe Henrik Lundqvist is the most underappreciated athlete of all the New York teams?
Underappreciated? No. I don't.
Underrated?
I don't think he's underrated. I just think, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen great players in other sports not win the championship, but still be a well-liked and well-respected athlete. I mean, Dan Marino comes to mind. Can't take anything away from him. Yeah, he couldn't win the big game. Was he any less of a great quarterback? No. If Elway didn't win at the end of his career, would you tell me John Elway was a lousy quarterback? Absolutely not. Just couldn't win the big game. If Ray Bourque wasn't traded to Colorado, he probably would have won his entire career without winning a cup. Staying in Boston, still one of the best defensemen in the league. Henrik Lundqvist may not win a Stanley Cup, but is an excellent goaltender. You know, sometimes it's the hot goalie, sometimes it's the hot team. Sometimes the guy just can't win the big game. That can be, you know, disputed all around all you want. But if I don't think Quinn is at a disadvantage to having Henrik Lundqvist in goal. I mean, how could people think that? In our day and age, championships is how people are defined. Whether that's good or bad, I personally don't think you need to win a championship. It's great to win the Stanley Cup. But the Rangers have had plenty of players, Steve. You know, other than 1994, they haven't won a cup since 1940.
Oy.
You can't tell me we didn't have good goaltenders. Because they had Beersbrook, Edmir. There's been plenty of them. John Davidson. There's been plenty of good, solid goaltenders. They just couldn't win those 16 playoff games.
Correct.
So I admire him. I think he's a solid goalie. Top five, top 10 goalie in the league, absolutely. Just hasn't gotten to that. Just can't get to that cup game. And I don't know. You know, the problem with the team now is it's great that he wanted to stay, but he only has 1 or 2 years left to be the starting goaltender. Then I think you're going to see some tight competition, and that's when it's going to get really, what do we do? You know what I'm saying? That's when
to what I was saying. Like, if he still wants to prolong his career and they're thinking about bringing up other goalies behind him, I mean, that's how sports works. He may have to, in the near future, in a year or two, within a year or two, consider other options, viable options, if he wants to play, continue playing, or playing the amount of games he thinks he wants to play. That's the whole basis of
the
conversation.
Well, here's the thing with that theory, though. He only has 3 years left on his contract. He's definitely going to be the number one this year, and I can't see him not being in the number one next year. So if he finishes his third year, his final contract year with the Rangers, if they don't move him, they don't work something out or whatever, that final year would be the year when he only plays 40 games, and maybe whoever's up there gets the majority of games, you know, when he sort of hands the torch over. So if we're talking after 2 years that, you know, he may have to reevaluate, at that point he's entering the last year of his contract. If he stayed all this time, he's just going to ride it out. I mean, he'll be, what, 39 years old? The team still owes him almost $27 million over the next 3 seasons. at that point, it's not even going to matter. If we go that far, then he's just going to ride it out. I mean, it's almost a $59 million contract will be over with. Excuse me, almost a $60 million contract when those 3 years are up. So if we're talking about what happens after 2 years, at that point, the damage is done, or he's done his job and now he's going to, you know, mentor the next guy coming up, and then he'll probably just ride off into the sunset and retire at that age. He's pretty much hoping that in the next 2 years, the Rangers can go or become one of those teams that didn't make the playoffs and 2 years later won a Stanley Cup. It's happened, so you can't say that's impossible. It's a wait-and-see kind of thing now.
Right.
And we're going to find out how good his GM is. If his GM can make a couple of trades. I think now, Steve, any trade he makes now, you need to bring in Rouse to players. It can't all be about draft picks. You've done that already. So can go out and do that. We still don't know. The trades he made, let's be honest, other than JT Miller, the trades he made weren't hard. Holden, Nash, Grabner, even the McDonough deal, because there was a lot of rumors with that. He didn't pull the trigger on a big trade. His biggest trade was probably the Stefan and Ranta trade, which was kind of not really, you know, in the scope, and he pulled it off. So, you know, and he wound up getting Aniston and Hyde a lot when it was all said and done. So we're going to see, you know, where we go from there. But for these two seasons, or for this season, Hank's going to have to be a little patient, and the team's going to have to play better in front of him, and they'll see where it goes.
We shall see where it goes. The Washington Capitals, the Stanley Cup champions, how do you see them coming off the Stanley Cup winning year in 17-18? How you see them going into 2018-19, RP? You think they're going to have the same fight in them? You still think they're going to have that edge, that push, the same edge and push that we saw how they played in the Tampa Bay series, how they came back and won that? Oh, they were actually up in that, and then they finished them off. What do you think about the Capitals?
I think with the Capitals, it's going to be really hard losing since they lost their head coach. Barry Trotz put a system in there that those guys really were sold on. They were really sold on, and it showed. You look at their battle. I like what Trotz was able to bring out of Ovechkin again and TJ Oshie and Backstrom. They all bought into the system. And, you know, Wilson, all these guys up and down. Kuznetsov, they all played in a system that, you know, got them to the Stanley Cup, but they were such a different team than they were a couple of years ago. They didn't give up. If they got down, they kept fighting back. It was truly a different team, and I believe it was from the coach. Because all those years past, Steve, you never saw that. Same team, more or less, with Ovechkin and Oshie the last couple of years. Backstrom's in there forever. You know, Holpe in that. And then Barry Trotz came along, and they bought into a system that really worked. And, you know, the way he went out, I don't know if the guy they brought in now, I forgot the coach's name that they brought in now.
They hired in-house. It was Todd Reirden, their assistant coach since 2014. So they got a guy that's been on the bench through the ups and the downs.
Good. Now, look, good move. That's a smart move by them. I'm sure they're going to come out firing up and going. Repeating is the hardest thing to do. It's only happened a couple of times. The Penguins have done it. The Canadians have done it. The Islanders had their time. So it's a hard thing to do. A lot of their team stood intact. You just don't know if that hunger is there. I mean, you always want to win. And Ovechkin is such a competitor, but he's getting up there in age too. So I don't know. I think they're going to be, you know, the team to beat in the East still. I think they're going to be right up there in the top three, top two. They haven't made a lot of moves. So, I mean, I never rule out Ovechkin. I got to tell you, he's just – he plays with – you know, he's incredible on the power play. It's amazing how none of these people, players, and none of these goalies can stop the shot that you know is coming from the right side. I mean, it just amazes me every time you watch it. You know how they're setting it up.
Yeah.
The teams can't stop that cross-ice pass, and then before you look, the puck is bouncing out of the net. It's amazing. It's great to watch when you're against the Rangers. You know, when we watched the Stanley Cup Finals, it was fun because we didn't care. So you sit there actually going, I'm just going to keep my eyes on Ovechkin, and every time he gets – and have you ever seen a player get his shot on goal so often from that one area? so consistent and so fast. He only has the shot perfectly off the ice. The goalie always just misses the shot. It's so, and I don't think he's lost anything on a shot. So I'm not going to say they can't do it. It's always a hard thing to do. I think they're going to be right in there. I expect them to make the playoffs and make another run for the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, where it lies is where it lies. But I wouldn't – it's not like I'm saying they have no chance in hell, because they really do. It's a tough division.
It is. Will be
they may finally be the team now that, you know, we've been talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins for how many years? I think that right now, and it's not going to last long because the players are getting older, but I think Washington's in that spot where they can take out the Penguins again. You know, the Penguins haven't made a lot of moves. I think it's Washington's time. If they're going to win another cup or 2 out of 3 years or something, they're in that window right now.
Before I go on, well, let me say it like this, because that team was not the most talented Washington Capitol team, let's say, in the last 4 seasons. You know, I could have said there were other rosters that were better, but there was something about how they played in Barry Trotz's system. I mean, this is not the first time they were President's Trophy recipients. I mean, they were winning, had a whole bunch of 100-point seasons the last couple of seasons. But
I mean, they went 10 years in a row not making it out of the second round. 10 years.
Yeah,
Ovechkin never made it out of the second round. So you're right.
They haven't what Stanley Cup in 20 years before this year. But
yeah, it was. It was crazy. You saw the talent of Ovechkin and that team, and you can never make it. I mean, never make it out of the second round. At least the Rangers had a couple of Eastern Conference Final games. You know, Ovechkin, but this year.
That's when the Rangers were hungry, man. We were in their way.
That's when the Rangers should have won. That it was the season the Rangers should have won their cup. You know, the Rangers put everything in. They had Martin St. Louis. It was all rolling, and it didn't happen. Unfortunate.
Those other years. It's not like they bowed out in like 4 or 5. I mean, they were going 7 with those guys. Not even that. If it wasn't us, it was not Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. They had to run into those guys, and you know Pittsburgh got a couple of seasons ago, but like you said, RP, this team hasn't really changed much since the Brooks Orr pick coming over from the Avalanche, and I don't know the contract stipulations with that. I haven't really followed them like that business wise, the Rangers, but they're bringing him back, and I think the Avalanche may have eaten up all their contract. I know Devontae Smith-Pelly, who played excellent in the playoffs. On that fourth line for them. They bringing him back for probably a year or two deal. And, of course, they rewarded Tom Wilson, and rightfully so. Guy was he was everything the polar opposite of what they do on that first line with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. He's the hitter. He's the aggressive guy. He sets up the tone with the forecheck. He's going to be the pain in the rear end. And it kind of fits because you got the playmaker, you got the scorer, you got somewhat of an enforcer all in that first line. And it worked in the playoffs. It definitely worked. I think TJ Oshie coming back is, you know, he's got several years on his contract. They're going to be fine.
Yeah. He's got a huge contract.
Yeah, it's really about their hunger. I don't think they're going to be as hungry as, like, is this something about the way it's who you played? And beating Pittsburgh, in my opinion, is I said this before to you on this podcast. It's everything psychological. It could have been any team in the East. It could have been the Rangers. It could have been the Capitals. Those two in particular teams, getting past Pittsburgh, it really takes a whole load off of your body, the stress playing them. It's like if I could beat them or we could beat them, we could beat anybody. And that includes a hot Tampa Bay Lightning team last year. And I think that's how they approached that next year. And I think we even slept. I know I slept on the Capitals. I thought, well, actually, I said in a sense, I said they could probably go on a run once they beat Pittsburgh. I said I could see them going on a run. But I was so embedded with the Tampa Bay Rangers, I was too blind to let that foresee. My heart was with the Tampa Bay Rangers, my mind was with the Capitals. And then when they got past Pittsburgh the way they did, and then how they went up on Tampa Bay early on in that series, it was just amazing. It was crazy. It was pure domination, man. And then the Vegas Golden Knights, they had nothing for them, man. They had nothing.
They were
I know
done.
Golden Knights had a one game in the third period, and they scored a little cheap goal. But outside of that, man, they were the most aggressive team, man. They were on fire, man. So how do I see them? I don't know if I see them as hungry. This conference is loaded, man. Not just our division, but the conference. They're still definitely a top team in the conference, no doubt. I would not put that out there. And hiring with Todd Reirden, and knowing that he saw what worked under Barry Trotz, that definitely carries over. So I'm pretty sure he's gonna. If it's not broke, don't fix it. You know what I'm saying? Or don't try to redesign it. He's probably gonna cherry pick a lot of what Trotz did in that system, and it really starts with that forechecking line, and then especially with the defensemen, man. I mean, with what they did with John Carlson, you know, guys like that. They're loaded. They're arguably their top three lines, the top nine, is the best in hockey as far as chemistry. They got a little bit of everything on each line, and they're a load. They're just definitely a load, man. And then if you add in Orloff and Matt Nissekin, and then of course John Carlson. I mean, they're top. Like, John Carlson is definitely one of the top defensemen in the league. They got it all, man. And then, like you said, the power plays, their power play, I don't know where it stood in the regular season. But like you said, man, you put TJ Oshie with Backstrom and then Knetsov and Carlson. I mean, they played along a lot with each other, so they know where they're going to be. And they make it look like second nature.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just, it's like watching their power play is just like, it feels like 5 minutes instead of 2 minutes on a minor. It just feels like, damn, man, you know where it's going, and they still can't stop it.
So true.
So, but yeah, I think I see them. Do you see them winning the division though?
Yeah. Yeah, I see them having another 100-point season. I think they'll outlast everybody. I don't know. Once again, to the playoffs again. If now they've tasted and seen what it. Dedication is needed to get to the finals.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to put them up there in the top three, without a doubt, in the league. I mean, I can't see them. I don't see them totally struggling. You know, they might get a little bit of that. We won the cup and they're going to take a little bit of a breath and all. That tends to happen sometimes, but they're definitely going to be, you know, in the playoff contention. And you know what it is, once you get into the show, anything can happen.
Without a doubt, man. Excellent team going into 2018-19. I'm just trying to think in my head who will be in their way within the division. I mean, Pittsburgh is still Pittsburgh. Well, I know they have some changes, but they'll figure the pieces out around them. That's fine. But maybe they'll be even motivated. Or
yeah,
they're just probably one of
Crosby and Malkin are still Crosby and Malkin are still playing great hockey, and Murray's still playing solid in goal, but.
Philly might be all right, but I don't think they're a threat. I'm talking about pure threat. Philly's a nice team, but not a threat. New Jersey, nice team.
No.
They came along, you know, bowed out to the Lightning. Nice team. Elite scoring on that first line with Taylor Hall. Threat. Maybe they take the next step. We haven't talked about the Devils yet. We'll get to them. But there's always that one team that you don't really expect, and then once it gets going, like, man, they're playing
well.
Well,
you're talking about, not to cut you off, but if you're talking about one team that might be able to step it up, you really got to put Toronto into that category with Tavares now.
I mean, yeah, I didn't even get to the
49-26 last season.
I was looking at the Metro.
Right?
Yeah,
I was looking at the Metro. Yeah, you're looking at the Metro. I'm looking at the conference because at the end of the day, that's who you got to get by. So in the division, I just don't see the Caps not winning it again. I mean, Columbus was up there with 97 points. Philadelphia had the surprise year out of nowhere with 98 points. I mean, they were right. They're only 7 points behind the Capitals. Will they have another season like that? Don't know. I don't see the Islanders making a difference. They're down a star. Never mind. They didn't make any big moves. So the Devils, maybe. I mean, they made the playoffs. They were right there with Columbus and Philadelphia at 97 points. But I just don't see anyone knocking the Caps out, at least from the top spot to start. But then again, anything can happen. You know, that's great about hockey. The division was so tight, especially the Metropolitan Division. I mean, even as bad as the Rangers were, they weren't that far out of it. So, but in the conference standpoint, you have to put Toronto into the conversation again. You got to put Tampa Bay into the conversation. And it's a real tough conference. When you look at these numbers, I mean, I know the West has, you know, the Sharks and the Flames and Minnesota, but when you look at this conference, it's some really good teams.
All right. I got a question for you before we get off.
Sure.
We have actually a riddle. It's not really a question, a riddle. Everybody's been stumped all day, and I got to ask you this real quick before we get off. All right, follow me here. Old and new house on the island. I was the first retired. Bad break with bad back. ABC is me. No Billy, but Gene has always been with me. Who am I?
You know, I read that before on your Facebook page, and I couldn't figure it out. You think I'm going to figure it out now? Say it again.
If anybody was to figure it out, it would be you.
Say it again.
Old and new house on the island. I was the first retired. Bad break with bad back. ABC is me. No Billy, but Gene has always been with me. Or Jean has always been with me. Who am I?
No Billy.
But Jean has always been
Jean Rattel? I don't have the slightest idea.
You are very close, but no cigar. No stogie for you, or scotch.
There's always scotch.
One more time. You are like the warmest of, you're hot. But you'll get it if I ask it again. Cause
John
right,
Bellevue?
John
Bellevue?
No. One more time. You're basically there. Old and new house on the island. I was the first retired. Bad break with bad back. ABC is me. No Billy, but Jean has always been with me. Last guess. You don't get no prize, but last guess. You got it wrong, but last guess.
I know I'm going to kick myself when you tell me. I don't know. Now you got me stumped.
Okay, let's put it like this. When I say the word, when I say ABC, you know ABC, the letters ABC?
Yes.
Is me, ABC. Locally in New York, what channel is ABC?
7. Roger Ver.
There you go.
There you go. I knew it was one of those line mates. I just couldn't figure it out. Kept tripping up with Billy and Gene. I was like, wait a minute.
Well, the Billy and Gene was kind of a Michael Jackson reference.
Yes, well, that's what kept throwing me off. Because I couldn't figure out what the heck you're doing with Michael Jackson and with that. Listen, you're spending way too much time doing riddles. You know that, right?
Yeah. When I was the first retired, meaning first.
The first
Rangers
of the three.
Right.
Yep.
In the old house, new house is Madison Square Garden.
Square Garden. Nice.
Don't tell the group. Ranger Brown, final thoughts. On this episode with Hank.
Final thoughts with Henrik Lundqvist. Just hope he plays his normal style. Play his game, play his season, make his saves, and see where it takes us.
All right. What about articles, new content? Anything
articles.
You got brewing
I wrote
up?
A story on how the Rangers need to sign Max Zuccarello that came out earlier today. Check it out. And I got a good piece supposedly coming out either tomorrow or the day after on Adam Graves and what he's been doing on the ice with the young guys, with his charities, with the garden, just what he's been doing since he's retired. It's pretty good. Short story, but a good story on him. Was always a big fan of him. I met him a couple of times. Nice guy. So it's actually coming out in the next day or two.
All right, man. RP, myself, The Ring Podcast, with Ranger Proud on Henrik. Next episode, we're going to get on Jimmy VC. So be on the lookout for that as well. next week here on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Crowd. RP, good episode. Good. I have to come out with another riddle for you guys, man. This is fun, man.
Get you guys to think. Get you guys to think. It's there. If you really think about it, it's there.
You're killing me on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, we'll put out. We're gonna take his articles and share it with the masses. So be on the lookout for the Zuccarello article from Ranger Proud on Elite Sports New York. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen, Lee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.